want a classic living demonstration of peace, you look up into the face of Jesus Christ.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Jesus said, all the bliss, all the blessedness, all the wealth and the richness that comes into the life of a man or of a woman who is a peacemaker. Every one of us should have a burden to fulfill the implications of our identity as peacemakers. And in order for us to be able to do that very efficiently and successfully, we will need to understand four basic truths. What are those four basic truths? Number one, I think we need to understand the fount of peace. Where does peace come from? And it comes, the Bible says, from the triune God. And then number two, we need to understand the foe of peace so that we can avoid it, that foe. So that foe is incapable of rendering us non-functional in this area. The foe of peace, in a word, is sin. And the bottom line in sin is the word self. So we need to understand the foe of peace and the disruption and the warfare that sin and self can cause in our personal lives, in our families, in a local church. Then number three, we need to understand the function of peacemaking. And in a word, it's nothing other than Christian living, living out on a practical basis what God intended our Christian lives to be all about. And then finally, we need to understand the fruit of peacemaking. The Bible says, for they shall be called the children, or literally the sons. Huios is the word. It's not the word for children, techna. It's the word huios, which means sons. They shall be called the sons of God. Now let's look at these for a moment. First, the first point is the fount of peace. Where does it come from? There can be no peace apart from this fount. It comes from the triune God. The God of peace is the originator of it. That's the Father. The Prince of Peace is the executor of it. He makes it possible. That's the Son. And the Spirit of Peace is the applicator of it, the ministry of the Holy Spirit taking up residence within us and bringing it right down into our daily experience. First, the God of Peace. He's the originator of it. In what sense is our God, that is the Heavenly Father, the God of peace? There are many things that can be said here, but let me say two things. One, our God is a God of peace in His person. And secondly, in His purpose. He has a peaceful purpose for you and me. Now, I said that the triune God is involved in terms of the fount of peace. Not only the God of peace, the Heavenly Father, but secondly, the Prince of Peace. The Heavenly Father is the originator, the Prince of Peace, the Son is the executor. He makes it possible through His work. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 calls Him the Prince of Peace. And I want to say three things very quickly about that. Number one, Jesus Christ is peace. He is peace. Ephesians 2 and verse 14, for He is our peace. Jesus Christ is in His very essence, His very character, peace. He is its personification. If you want a classic living demonstration of peace in the mainstream of humanity, you look to the incarnation. You look up into the face of Jesus Christ as it's revealed in the pages of Scripture, and His peace becomes ours as we trust Him. Number one, He is peace, Jesus Christ. Number two, He made peace. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul states it very precisely, having made peace by the blood of His cross. Isn't that interesting? That's an interesting way to make peace, by the blood of His cross. In fact, that word there, having made peace, that's the very same Greek word that is translated peacemaker in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. And Paul is telling us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, Jesus Christ became a peacemaker by shedding His blood. Paul is telling us that if you want to be a peacemaker, it will mean shedding blood. namely your own blood, not somebody else's. The peacemaker is ready to shed his own blood. He's ready to pay a price to be the blessing God intended for him to be in the Christian fellowship. The peacemaker is ready to shed his own blood. You know whose blood the troublemaker is ready to shed? Yours. Somebody else's. The other guy's. The peacemaker is ready to shed his own blood. Jesus did that. He made peace by the blood of his cross. In a fallen world, making peace is always costly. It always involves forgetting yourself, humbling yourself, sacrificing yourself, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ did when he came into the world. Jesus Christ became a man, he became a servant, he became a sacrifice. He forgot himself, he humbled himself, he sacrificed himself in order that he might make peace. If we're going to be peacemakers, we'll have to reduplicate that behavior. It's not easy to be a peacemaker. Jesus went to war, but not with people. Jesus went to war with Satan and with sin in order that he might win peace for sinners. It was the sacrifice of himself that destroyed the devil, canceled our debt, and abolished death. The Bible says all three of those things. The blood of his cross makes peace. And any man who's willing to claim his own personal share of what Jesus Christ died on the cross to give all men, can experience that peace. He can be forgiven. He can be saved. He can know peace with God, peace with himself, and peace with those around him. Jesus is peace. Jesus made peace. Jesus preached peace. Ephesians 2, verse 17, the Bible says, he came and preached peace to you which were afar off. When did Jesus preach peace? Jesus preached peace at his birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, Luke 2:14. Jesus preached peace in the upper room. Let not your heart be troubled, he said before his crucifixion. Then he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, John 14, verse 1, verse 27. And then Jesus preached peace on the cross. He could say, Father, forgive them. Those are words of peace. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he could say to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Those are words of peace. You with me, together in one, in the presence of the Father. That's peace. That's the same promise he gives to every one of us who trust him. Jesus preached peace in the resurrection. Jesus could say to his trembling disciples, cowering behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, afraid that the same thing would happen to them that had happened to their Savior, to their great teacher, their great master, the one they had hoped had been the Messiah. Jesus could say to those disciples trembling behind those locked doors, peace be unto you, John 20, verse 19. And when Jesus comes again, there'll be a preachment of peace. Isaiah could say of the Messiah at his second coming, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Isaiah 9 and verse 7. Jesus is peace, the very personification of it. Jesus made peace by shedding his blood, and that's what it will always cost us. There will be a price if we're to be peacemakers. And Jesus preached peace, and he preaches it today. And for all who will claim him, all who will trust him, all who will receive him, the benefits and the impact of that peace will touch their lives for now and for all eternity. It's a blessed thing. And then there's the Spirit of peace. The triune God is the fount of peace. There's the Spirit of peace. He's the applicator. The Father is the originator. The Son is the executor. He makes it possible through his crosswork. The Holy Spirit is the applicator. He brings it right down into our lives. He draws us toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He inhabits us when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he so works in us that we can experience this peace day by day. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what? Peace. Galatians 5 and verse 22. The fount of this peace, the triune God. It originates with the Father. It is made possible by the Son. It is applied personally in our lives through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But now let's go a step further. What's the foe of peace? The foe of peace, in a word, is sin. And if there's one word that we can lay at the root of sin, it's the word self. The foe of peace is sin. And at the bottom of sin is self. And sin and self produce war. Whenever sin raises its ugly head, whenever selfishness begins to emerge from our lifestyle, in that moment we have negated peacemaking and we become troublemakers. You know, there's a passage of Scripture which we don't have the time to analyze, but at which we will look just in outline fashion. There is a passage of Scripture, it's James 4, verses 1 to 4, which gives to us three significant areas where this war will emerge if we allow sin and self to come to the surface. Now, we don't have time to do justice to this passage, but I'll lift three ideas out of it very quickly. There are three significant areas where there will be war, the end of peace and the end of peacemaking, when sin and self raise their ugly head in our midst. In James chapter 4, verse 1, we're taught that the first significant area where there will be no more peace or peacemaking is with our peers. He says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? You notice that phrase? Among you. Factions and quarrels exist among you, James says. He's talking to Christians. Within the framework of the Christian community, that should come as no surprise. No doubt over the years we've experienced it in our own lives and our own experience as Christians. And it's there due to sin. It's due to this deep-rooted infection we call sin, which contaminates our personality and controls our ego, and it produces wars and fightings among you. You know what God's order is? God's order is one, himself first, and then two, others second, and then three, myself last. And that's biblical. Luke 10 and verse 27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, himself first. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then thou shalt love thy neighbor, that's others second, as thyself, that's self third. Luke 10 and verse 27. Do you know what sin is? Sin is the reversal of that order. Sin is saying, instead of God first, sin is saying me first. And you know that expression occurs right in the Bible? Luke 9, verse 59, also verse 61. Me first. And whenever you say me first, you know what you've done? You've laid the platform for wars and fightings among you. Whenever you say me first, you know, when we were boys and girls, and we would go to a birthday party, and finally mother would bring out the cake and the ice cream, and there went up a unanimous cry, me first. And that's all right when you're boys and girls, I guess. We begin to teach our children they shouldn't do that. But when we grew up, we stopped saying that, but we didn't stop thinking it. Me first. And whenever you say me first, you know what you have? Wars and fightings among you.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
He's willing to sacrifice. He's willing, in the words of the Apostle Paul describing the Lord Jesus, he's willing to shed his own blood.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.